Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Death's Door by Heather Hildenbrand, narrated by Chelsea Stevens. Chapter 1. My lips felt like holy ground. Angel balls my neph could kiss. Okay, not my neph. A neph. Adric Romanov, fallen angel and agent of salvation against the demons that haunted the earth. Damn, that hottie could work a mouth like no one's business. When Adric's tongue invaded my mouth, I nearly shapeshifted my panties right into melted butter. In his arms, I forgot all about the fact that we just witnessed Salafiel, an all-powerful Nephilim who was supposed to be committed to snuffing out demons alongside her brother, summon two of them, and give them orders to kill the man I was currently playing tonsil hockey with. Okay, forgot is a strong word. Put aside, maybe, because priorities. My lady parts were going to fall off if I didn't take this kiss as far as it could go. By the time we broke apart, I was ready to convert to a new religion, and I was tentatively dubbing it Adric worship. I was also a little bummed he'd let go of me. Swaying, I stared up into eyes dark as nightmares and shuddered with desire. The New Orleans night sky was nothing compared to the vast depths of Adric's eyes, and when he turned their full power on me, I was helpless to resist. I licked my lips and noted the way his gaze darted down to watch me do it. That was dangerous, he said with a frown, his gaze lifting to mine again. My eyes narrowed. Not the compliment I was hoping for. He softened, brushing rough knuckles tenderly over my flushed cheek. I can assure you it was very pleasurable, but I won't put you at risk. I arched a brow. Are you worried about letting your guard down long enough for your crazy sister to try to kill us, or that your otherworldly lips might just pleasure me to death? His eyes danced. Yes. Fair enough. I stepped back far enough to hopefully reassemble the pieces of my brain that could still function after a makeout session like that. Let's focus more on the pleasure part, less on the risk part. I knew the rumors. Sex with a neph was life-changing. Or life-ending. Tomato-potato. I was willing to take my chances. Amusement shone back at me from his midnight eyes, but he remained unmoved. Jim, we can't stay here. We're exposed. Not nearly as exposed as I wanted to be, but he had a point. Your place? I suggested, still hopeful. His lips twitched. I have house guests. Wulfric and Tony. One was a wolf demon from hell, literally. The other was a werewolf turned smurf, thanks to being shot up with demon poison by the SSF's science lab. Both were my friends. I shrugged. As long as you don't mind a few puddles of demon guts, we can go to my place. Adric's eyes narrowed. Explain. I hedged, realizing I'd said too much. You want to know why there's demon guts at my apartment? Or how I know that for sure? Yes. Damn. There went the mood. I might have made a pit stop earlier. He cast his eyes skyward, either an eye roll or plea for intervention from the big guy, I couldn't be sure. Tell me no one saw you, he said. Of course not. No one except the demon who attacked me, but he is not an issue anymore. Oh, and Faith Burkhardt. I left Starla out of it. We'd said no more secrets, but I wasn't lying so much as waiting for the best time to explain how I'd been working as a double agent, spying on the spies. It was non-essential information at this point. The daughter of the chief lab tech at the SSF? He asked. I nodded, wincing. Yeah? What was she doing at your apartment? It's a long story. I glanced down at the darkened alley. By now, the demons and their masters, Salafiel and Rourke, my warlock neighbor of all people, was apparently helping the bitch, were all gone. If we were going to track them down and put a stop to their evil plan, we needed to get moving. Adric's expression hardened with impatience, and a burst of power began to radiate from him. And a story I very much want to tell you, obviously, I added. But shouldn't we track those demons first? You know, the ones with orders to kill you? Or maybe go deal with your psychosis who just put a hit out on you? He grumbled something about talking my way out of a paper bag, and I pressed my lips together to keep from smiling. Fine. We'll talk about it after I'm done dealing with the demons.
Whoa. You mean after we are done dealing with the demons?
Jem, this is too dangerous.
Actually, out of the two of us, I'm the most trained in demon fighting, technically speaking. So if anyone should stay behind, it's...
One glance at his glower, and I decided not to finish that sentence.
We'll go together, I said instead, and when he didn't outright argue, I knew I'd won.
My phone vibrated, but I ignored it. Whoever was on the other end would undoubtedly demand an explanation I didn't want to give right now. Namely, how in the hell I'd managed to slip out of Jax's well-staffed and secured compound unnoticed earlier tonight. A compound currently inhabited by an alpha panther with a crush on me, my BFF Faye, who had a built-in lie detector in his brain, and my secret demon baby who noticed everything. Not to mention Jax's muscle-bound minions who patrolled the place. I couldn't afford to out Azrael for helping me escape. Not if I wanted to possibly use his handy little trick again sometime.
Come on.
Adric held out his arms for me, and while I didn't exactly mind the idea of pressing my body against his again, I hesitated.
What are you doing? I asked.
I'm going to track them from the air, he explained, unfurling his massive black wings. And I'm not going to let you out of my sight.
You want to carry me?
I wasn't well-versed in Nephilim culture, but from the little I knew, being carried in the arms of one was a huge honor, usually reserved for mates. His offer reminded me of Jax and his alpha's desire to claim me. My heart fluttered. My loins clenched.
Whoa there, Desire Train. We're getting a little off track.
If you'd let me,
he said quietly, and my lady parts hummed a tune that sounded a lot like Pony by Genuine.
Shit.
How about I shift and fly myself? That way we're both free to fight if we need to.
I watched closely, gauging his disappointment, but he merely nodded.
Are you ready?
I shifted into my griffin before I could rethink my own plan. In no time, we were airborne, and I shoved away all thoughts of my kiss with Adric and the bajillion rabbit holes my thoughts wanted to take me down. There was plenty of time for overthinking this whole thing later. Adric took the lead, and I let him since his demon-tracking skills were better than mine. Not that I'd ever admit that to him out loud. The figures that still moved on the streets below were too small to identify, and too far away from my Fae senses to lock onto. It was peaceful. Or it would have been if we weren't looking for two murderous demons, a shady warlock, and a Barbie-esque Nephilim bitch, all intent on killing the guy I was crushing on. That was a bummer of a mood. For the next hour, we searched from the sky. I'd almost given up on finding either of the demon hitmen when Adric suddenly nosedived toward the ground. I followed, swooping in a low arc and landing just as Adric slammed into the bullman demon I'd seen earlier. He let out a bellowing cry as Adric knocked him to the ground, and for a moment, all I could make out was a blur of movement obscured by Adric's impossibly large wings. When the bull let out a gut-wrenching bellow, I decided Adric had this one locked. Time to locate the second hitman. Or hitwoman. The empty lot we'd landed in reeked of sulfur, and I suspected the hag I'd seen earlier wasn't far away. Sticking to the shadows, I crept along the wall of the building at the lot's edge, using my griffin's heightened senses. At the mouth of a small alley, something scuffed in the gravel. I hesitated, glancing over my shoulder at where Adric and the bull still fought. The sounds of grunting were broken only by the bull's bellows of pain. I took it as a good sign Adric still had it under control, and crept closer to the noise ahead.
Peering into the alley, I froze. Not the hag demon, then.
Hello, Gemini.
I scowled, which wasn't an easy thing when you had a beak. My griffin faded, giving way to my human-like fey form, and the moment I had teeth again, I bared them at her.
Salafiel,
I snorted, eyes narrowed.
You've got some big lady balls.
Her perfect mouth turned downward in a frown.
Pardon me, but what are lady balls?
I wasn't even touching that one. I watched you in the alley with Rourke. You're so busted. How could you order the murder of your own brother? I demanded.
Her confusion vanished, replaced by an innocent beauty that stunned like that moment of stillness right before a predator's strike. Why did she have to be so damn gorgeous? It was hard to concentrate. At least Raguel was handsome in a gross, slippery way that didn't make me drool when I was supposed to be shit-talking him. Speaking of which, I swiped my chin just in case.
That's between me and Adric,
she said, way too sweetly. And the demon who's currently trying to kill him behind me, I added. She took a step toward me, and every single cell in me became suddenly aware of the immense and utter power she possessed.
That demon is only sending a message. I knew when I summoned him that he wouldn't be strong enough to harm my brother.
Then why the hell go to the trouble, lady? You've got nothing better to do than summon murder monsters all day? Is that what Nephilim sibling rivalry is like?
Adric and I have a millennium of history you wouldn't understand, she snarled. My brother was gifted with the power of death, and how has he used it? To patronize and restrict me from unleashing my own true nature. I warned him I wouldn't tolerate any more coddling or his pathetic attempts to shield me. His refusal to embrace his birthright is a destruction he has brought upon himself.
Let me get this straight. He has an overprotective brother, and now you're trying to prove you can take care of yourself by killing him? You're supposed to kill demons, not each other.
Not that I wanted her killing demons, either. Some of them, like Wulfric, could be reasoned with. But I had a feeling now wasn't the time to point that out.
My kind possesses a power unparalleled by any mere soup creature. We are capable of so much more than guard duty to the pathetic races of soups. Or worse, humans.
She scoffed.
Living on this godforsaken planet is an insult, a punishment I intend to remedy just as soon as I've shown the powers that be what we're capable of.
Hold up. You want the big guy upstairs to decide you deserve a promotion for dealing with big, scary demons?
She sniffed, looking down her perfect little nose at me.
I don't expect you to understand.
You're right. My daddy issues don't even come close to yours.
Her eyes narrowed, and wind whipped her hair as temper overtook her control.
You're brave, Jem, standing up to me. I could crush you like the bug that you are with nothing more than a flick of my wrist.
The fact that you haven't done it yet suggests you care more about your brother than you're letting on, I said, hoping like hell I wasn't wrong about my hunch.
Her lips curved in a perfect smile.
Or maybe I'm just savoring the victory.
She took another step closer. More power rolled off her and into me. Damn her for calling my bluff. I nodded toward the fight, still raging behind me.
This won't work. Adric isn't going to let you get away with this.
He won't be a problem much longer.
What does that mean? You just said the bull demon was no match.
I didn't come here to explain myself to my brother's pet.
Then why did you come here?
I asked.
Her eyes gleamed as power gathered around her.
To stop my brother's attempts at heroism in their tracks the only way I can, she said, like it was the most obvious thing in the world. I'm going to kill you.
The burst of power she unleashed hit me like the force of a battering ram. I flew backward, landing hard on my back.
Pain exploded in my head as my skull thudded against the pavement. A grunt tore from me as my back and hips absorbed the brunt of my fall. My breath whooshed out, and I blinked furiously against the darkness that threatened to suck me under. What the fuck? I shook my head to clear it, and was pretty sure my brain rattled. Gingerly, I pressed my fingers against the back of my head. They came away coated in blood. Shit. With painful movements, I strained to get my elbows underneath me, praying that first blow had drained the bitch. Unfortunately, the universe had decided to hate me today. Salafiel stalked closer to where I lay, her steps confident and lacking any shred of the exhaustion weighing me down. Another blast of power unleashed from her hands just as I heaved my body weight and managed to roll out of its path. I glimpsed a small puddle of blood where I'd landed earlier. Damn it, I'd been hurt worse than I thought. Fighting any longer in this body wasn't an option. Summoning the last of my magic, I called up what I hoped was enough juice left and shifted. My exoskeleton cracked and my wings hummed. Salafiel let out a shrill yell. Get back here, you little bitch! Face me! I shoved my tiny little June bug body upward as hard as I could. My muscles buzzed and my tiny bug limbs flooded with magic and cells and power way too big to be contained this way. Holy shit! Everything spun, and twice what I thought was flying upward, only to catch myself spiraling toward the pavement below. Catching myself before I could splat into a puddle of bug guts, I forced my wings to work and flew for everything I was worth. Gemini, Salafiel called, in a voice meant to sound friendly, but instead sounded completely batshit crazy. I'm disappointed you're hiding from me. At least your father had the guts to face me at the end. My breath caught and I froze, my wings stalling and nearly sending me into a face splat on the pavement below. What? From the alley, a roar bellowed, and this time I was pretty sure it hadn't come from the bull. I managed to get myself moving again just as a blur of black wings shot toward Salafiel. She went careening backward, screaming and shrieking as she tried to get free from the solid wall that was Adric. Even with the angel bitch occupied, I reeled from her last comment and barely managed to stay airborne. At this rate, I was never going to make it to the safety of the roof I'd aimed at. Instead, I found a spot on a windowsill and landed on the cold, rough brick. My wings drooped and I sank to my bug belly, listening to the sounds of a heated battle below. Jem, Adric called between grunts and shrieks. I tried to answer, but I was barely hanging on to consciousness. There was no way I had the volume to be heard over the raucous they were making. She's gone, brother, and you're better off, Salafiel said. There was a loud boom, and the building I was resting on shuddered with the impact. Salafiel let out a small sound of pain. That comforted me.
If you hurt her, Adric growled below, I will kill you.
You choose one of them over your own kind? Salafiel demanded, but her voice sounded smaller than before. Hopefully he'd hurt the bitch. Over your own sister?
You stopped being my sister when you started killing innocents.
I'm working toward a greater goal. For us. You know that.
Summoning evil creatures to harm innocents, Sela. That's your plan to get us home. You really think he would consider that fair play?
There were no stipulations on the decree, Adric. You know he has to honor the outcome, no matter the methods. It's how he works. It's how he's always worked, and our time is almost up. What was I supposed to do? Even from way up here, the smugness in her tone was unmistakable. Bitch.
It's over, Sela. This ends now.
Short-sighted as always, brother. A loud boom sounded, drowning out everything else and leaving my ears ringing in its wake. Over the buzzing, I barely heard her as she added, This is just getting started. Then everything was still. Chapter 2. My body buzzed with the overload of magic and pain. The beating of wings was a roaring sound in my little bug ears. I struggled to get my bearings, but all I could think about was Salafiel's comment about my father. A moment later, I was nearly blown off the edge of the sill as the wind rushed in around me.
Jem?
Adric's voice was quiet, calm. Was she gone? How much had he overheard?
Jem.
And then I heard it, the strain in his tone. My fear for him cut through the fog like a knife. Had he been hurt? Had Salafiel done something to him? I pushed to my feet and wiggled my wings, inching toward the edge of the landing. I'm here, I called, hoping his neph hearing could pick up my tiny voice. His arrival nearly blew me over the edge of the brick sill, but I managed to hold steady. And then he was there before me, hovering in mid-air as his big black wings beat ferociously against the pull of gravity.
Are you all right? He asked.
It took me a moment to find my voice and tear my gaze away from the bloody gash that had been ripped open across his chest. I'm fine, I said. Salafiel, I think whatever she blasted me with drained my power. I can't shift. He inched closer and held out his hand.
Climb on, he said, as blood ran from his wound and fell like raindrops to the street below.
Without waiting to be told twice, I climbed into his open hand and hunkered down in one of the creases of his palm. When I was settled, he closed his hand in a fist, sealing me inside, and shot upward into the night sky. I promptly vomited. Luckily, it was a bug's worth of barf and hopefully not offensive to the owner of the hand. My stomach rolled as Adric banked and swooped. I didn't have to ask to know we were going back to the sketchy townhouse in the Ninth Ward. It was the only place his neph friends didn't know about, which meant the only safe haven he had left. After tonight, I understood why he was so worried about me going back to my apartment. Having an evil Nephilim supermodel with the power of death in her veins trying to off me wasn't the kind of threat I wanted to face alone. When the motion finally stopped, I breathed a sigh of relief. The buzzing in my bug body hadn't improved, but not throwing up again was a nice turn of events. Maybe I'd even be able to rest long enough to...
Whoa, what the hell is happening?
Adric's hand vibrated first, and then whatever power he'd summoned hit me, causing me to shake violently as the pressure built inside me.
Adric, I swear to the big guy above, if you kill me, I'll...
My exoskeleton exploded. My bug screams turned to full-size cries and curses. I vomited. Again. When I opened my eyes, I found myself on human hands and knees, dry heaving and breathless and tingling with the effects of whatever the hell had just happened. But at least I had arms again. And legs. I lifted my hand to my head and winced at the pain even the slightest touch caused me. But the bleeding had stopped. So I also had my brain still intact inside my skull, it seemed. Thank the angel. One very specific, very broody, very hot angel. From behind the curtain of my tangled blonde hair, I looked up at Adric, who stood over me with knitted brows. His chest was covered in blood, and his expression was pinched tight.
Better?
He asked. I decided not to point out the obvious vomiting and simply nodded. Yeah, I rasped, taking his offered hand as I climbed to my feet. Better. I wavered on shaky legs and looked up at him. How in the hell did you do that?
Neph power perk,
he said simply. But you forced me to shift. He looked guiltily away.
Nephilim can do that sort of thing, if they're powerful enough.
My jaw dropped as I realized the full implication of his admission. My dad's death. He'd been found in his human form, not his griffin, and without a scratch on him, which hadn't made any sense given the story about him supposedly fighting a demon. Can Salafiel also? I broke off, my breaths coming in short gasps as shock and grief gave way to rage. Yes, he said simply. My heart thudded, and I bit back the questions on my tongue. Right now, we needed to get inside, but mostly, I needed to not throw up again. Once I was sure my stomach would stay inside my body, I would lob all the questions I wanted. Breathe, Jem. Save your crazy for when your stomach is solid. I forced myself to focus on what had just happened and what we were going to do about it. Your sister is batshit crazy, I said.
On that, we agree, he said.
And the bull? I asked.
Dead.
His voice was flat, but his eyes raged on.
Come on, let's get you inside.
It wasn't until he turned me around that I realized we were on the townhouse roof instead of the street below. Wow, my senses were really drained. Leaning on Adric for support, I let him take me inside through an access door that led into an attic, and from there, down a set of stairs to the second floor of the townhouse. In the hall, I stopped outside the first open door and peered in at the sleeping form resting on the full-sized bed. Tony. He looked the same as the other day, eyes sunken with dark circles underneath and bright blue skin. He was bigger now than when I'd found him at the Delta building the other day, with bulky muscles and a broad frame that dwarfed the mattress he slept on. When had he gotten so big? I looked around for some sign of food or drink or even personal care items, but there were none. The only other furniture in the room was a medical machine that was apparently reading his vitals and emitting soft beeps every few seconds.
His vitals remain stable, though his mental state has not yet begun to adjust to his change,
Adric said quietly, his voice gravelly with pain. I looked over, frowning at the wound on the dark Nephilim's chest that had yet to begin to close. It should have started healing by now. We need to get you patched up, I said. He moved away, heading farther down the short hall.
In here, he said.
I followed, passing another room where I glimpsed Wulfric also asleep in a twin bed dwarfed by his large furry body. He looks so peaceful, I whispered, but also scary as hell.
He's helped hold Tony down for me a few times, Adric said,
and I bit my lip, worrying about Tony's condition again. What was happening to my friend that it took a Nephilim and a level 6 lupine demon to hold him down? Quietly, I followed Adric across the hall and into the bedroom he'd been using as an office. It looked nearly the same as it had the last time I visited, which felt like a lifetime ago now. But in addition to the desk, he'd added a twin bed against the far wall. And on the wall behind the desk, a collage of photos and sticky notes had been pinned in a crazy sort of grid pattern. I stopped and stared at it, studying the scrawled handwriting and grainy photos. Adric cleared his throat, and I turned back to him, prioritizing. Not bleeding out came first. Where's your first aid kit? I asked as he lowered himself to the bed. With his giant frame, the narrow mattress looked even smaller now. He slanted a brow in my direction.
What part of Immortal Angel makes you think I own a first aid kit?
Right. My shoulders sagged, and I bit my lip, glancing around the room for an alternative, but there was nothing. I frowned and closed the distance, examining the wound more closely. Why isn't it closing anyway? Shouldn't your angel DNA handle this for you?
It's a Nephilim-inflicted wound.
I looked up and realized just how close our faces were. My breath caught, and I forced myself to focus on the conversation, not his dark, sexy eyes or brooding mouth. Salafiel can actually hurt you. He nodded.
It'll mend. Eventually.
I shook my head at his easy dismissal of it. And if the wound had been lethal?
Sela doesn't want to kill me.
I snorted. She had me fooled, what with the hit she put out on you, which makes less sense now.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?